Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hey, and welcome to this week's episode. Today I am joined by Tasha Shaw, who is committed to creating a more peaceful world, one sweet boy at a time, by supporting parents to care for themselves, connect with their boys deeply, set limits lovingly, and play wildly. She brings a burst of energy and optimism to parenting and is an expert at simple solutions to what feel like overwhelmingly complicated problems. Tasha is a co-author of Listen, Five Simple Tools to Meet Your Everyday Parenting Challenges, and parent coach at tashashaw.com. Hello.
Hey there.
Thank you so much for coming and joining me.
Thank you so much for inviting me on.
I have many listeners who really care about parenting. And so when we met at a conference, I followed you, ran across the room and said, please come on my podcast.
Yay, I'm happy to share my thinking.
Oh, fantastic. So let's start where I always start. What is adulting, or what does being an adult mean for you?
I love the word adulting. I've never heard that before. I just love that you say that. Did you make that up?
I think it's like a millennial thing that hit the internet that really resonated with me. And some people hate it. Some people find it really kind of gross, the way that we, you know, put a verb on the end of everything. And I think it's an active thing, right? Like it's something we actually do.
I love it. I think it's totally something that we do. I miss the whole, you know, social media blow up or whatever, obviously, but I love the word. So what does it mean to me? Being an adult and adulting to me means continued growth, always striving for more, doing things that are meaningful for me. And to me, that means something that's going to have a bigger effect in the world, but that also fills my soul. So it's something about a balance of being able to follow my passion, create positive change, and make a living all at once without taking myself too seriously.
Perfect. I love that. Do you feel like it's something that you have grown into, that you just always knew how to do, that someone, you know, that your mum told you how to do? Like, I find it really fascinating. Like, when do we become an adult?
You know, that's actually a really interesting question. The first thing that I thought of when you asked me is that I became an adult very early. I think actually when my parents split up when I was five, that I became an adult. And I'm like, do I even want to say this on a podcast? But anyway, I guess I can say this now because it is what it is. But until I was five, I was actually, Tasha was not my given name. Mm-hmm. And when my parents split when I was five and we moved to a new state and a new place, I'm in the United States, I changed my name and kind of started again, and to Tasha. And part of that was, I think, feeling like I needed to begin my adulting. And in a way, I kind of grew out of the seriousness of my adulting as I grew older. So as I was younger, I feel like I took my adulting more seriously. And now the challenge as an older adult, I mean, as opposed to not a five-year-old adult, is being able to have lightness around it. And joy around it, and not have it be a burden of responsibility and stress.
Okay, I love that. So I also felt like I took on the responsibility and the burden of living and taking and caretaking and all of those things very young. And in a way, potentially similarly, I feel like it's allow, like, in a way it's made me a better adult because like I've come to it consciously and I've chosen to be empowered by it rather than to see it as a burden and as a responsibility. Given the work that you do in the world, when is an appropriate time for our children to become adults, and like how do we navigate that thing, particularly I guess with boys, but how do we like let them become adults?
Yeah, interesting question. The first thought that popped into my mind was that I feel like there's kind of a pendulum in the field of parenting, and not even like the professional field of parenting, but in like the parenting world of parenting, from a parent's perspective. And it went from this place of perhaps our parents' generation or grandparents' generation for some of us, where children were still supposed to be seen and not heard.
Mm-hmm.
And the adults, you know, sat at the adult table and the kids sat at the kids' table or did their own thing. And those worlds were pretty separate. And there was this idea that you respect adults and because they're adults and you do what they say because they're adults, et cetera. It was more of a control relationship. And the pendulum has really swung clear across to the other side, where there are a lot of parents who are getting extremely burnt out because they're spending all their time only doing for their children and making sure or attempting to make sure that they control everything about their environment and their world and that everything goes perfectly. And so with regard to adulting and how to help our children grow into responsible adults, I would say one thing is to let them do what they're capable of doing, not do it for them, even if the way that they do it isn't the way you would have, or perhaps doesn't come out as quote unquote good as it would if you did it. And then in terms of helping them grow into really emotionally intelligent adults, I would say, because I feel like that's a really important part of adulting, and I guess I didn't really say that in the intro when you first asked me that question, but there's a really an important piece, I think, about keeping ourselves in good emotional health. Particularly, I would say, and I don't know who your audience is, this is true for both men and women, but in most families that I work with and most of what I'm seeing, the woman, or if it's a two-woman family, one of the women generally tends to be the leader of the family. And in order to be able to do that well, we need to be in good emotional health, right? So back to your question about how do we help them become adults and when, I feel like we can really help them grow into emotionally intelligent beings by offering our attention, our loving attention, when feelings bubble up for them as they move through the world. So in other words, rather than shutting down their feelings as they get, you know, bumped around by life, if we can instead be a loving presence for them to share their hurts and their upsets with us and cry if they need to and yell and scream and have a tantrum if they need to in a safe place where we can just keep loving them and usher them through to the other side, that is helping them become amazing adults.
I really love that. I really love that. And it resonates so clearly for me. And I think, you know, one of the reasons why 5 isn't necessarily an appropriate age to become an adult is because there's no one holding that space for you. And in a way, when we become adults, it's then our job to hold that space for ourselves or to be in relationship with other adults and ask for that space to be held and to hold that space for each other in some kind of way. And I love on your website and in your work how you talk about, you know, really when we're being challenged, recognized by our children or in our relationships with children, to recognize the mirrors and the reflections in that and kind of do our own work. Can you talk on that a little bit more? If people are struggling with their children or particularly boys, how do we navigate that and be a good parent?
So there are a couple of things that really help. One is to take good care of ourselves emotionally, something that I mentioned before. And that can look like different things for different people. But if you want to just use like a really basic example, like your car doesn't run if there's no gas in it. Same goes for the leader of the family, right? You're responsible for these boys or kids, if they're boys and girls or whatever. I mean, you need to be in a good place. You need to be in good physical health. You need to be good in good emotional health. And so one thing that I do, for example, is, and we talk about this in our book, Listen, is I have several listening partnerships where I exchange time with another parent, where that parent listens to me in a very non-judgmental way for a certain amount of time. And then we switch and I become the listener. And it's just, some people will say, oh, is this active listening? Not really, it's not the same thing, but it's really just listening without judgment, without the trying to fix the other person or give them suggestions about what to do. It's really just like I'm saying, it makes really good sense to do for our kids. Like, we're having somebody do this for us too. So just so I can release the sadness or the anger or the weight of whatever it is that I'm carrying so that I can then go back to my kids and not be triggered by the little things that they might do that trigger us, right? Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that we can really, really do to keep ourselves in what I like to call good parenting shape. Now, not everybody has listening partnerships, and that's not the only thing you can do. If you have any sort of self-care practice, I absolutely encourage you to do it. And, you know, I've got three boys. Like, I'm not saying you need to, like, go away to a spa for a week. That's not what I mean. I think we have a misconception of what self-care is, all right? But 5 minutes of something that fills you. If it's talking to a friend, if it's reading a trash magazine, if it's sitting with a cup of tea and doing Sudoku, like, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it is, but something that fills you. It's going for a walk, it's doing yoga, meditating, it doesn't matter. But something each day, even for just 5 minutes, that fills you is important. And then the other thing that I want to say is that there's a real important piece about isolation that sits with parents that makes it really, really hard to parent in ways that we feel proud of, because we're constantly comparing ourselves to others, imagining that we're the only one who ever, you know, loses our shit with our kids, or whose kid cusses us out or tries to hit us or whatever it is. We think we're the only ones. We think we're alone, and we kind of spiral down like that. So there's a really important piece that we have to work on as parents around building community, around appreciating other parents rather than criticizing them or judging them. Mm-hmm. And the first step to be able to do that, and this is something you can do right now, is just remember every parent is doing the best that they can do in every moment. And if you can watch, you know, that parent that's screaming at their child in the supermarket and remember that about them, if you can remember that that's the best they can do in that moment, then you can think to yourself, okay, what can I do to help life go better for them? You know, and that might just be, you know, walking by and saying, oh my God, I have so been there. I get it. It's hard.
Yeah.
But that parent in that moment, I can assure you, is just feeling incredibly alone and ashamed and upset and embarrassed and not knowing what to do. And so the worst thing we can do is be judging that parent. And the other thing I like to say to parents is that, you know, it all comes around. Sometimes that person's us and sometimes it's someone else. And so we really need to have each other's backs. So like I said, start out by just remembering that every parent really is doing their best in every moment.
I think that's still so important, and as someone who isn't a parent, you know, I try my hardest to do those things because it might not be my experience that day or the day before, right? Because I might have had some wonderful child-free time, and so it can be just as important, really. You know, it's sometimes it's just a look. Sometimes you don't need to say anything, just an empathy face, or a, you know, not a scowl, not a face of judgment that says, you know, a lot of things. I'm really curious from a parenting perspective around the kind of differences between parenting boys and girls. Are there things that you're like, yes, this is very different, or no, you know what? Children are children, humans are humans, and it's all the same. In your experience?
In my experience, mostly it's very similar, except it's nothing at all alike, because the way that society treats little boys is very different than the way it treats little girls. So I'm coming at it from an outside. People say, well, why are you focusing on boys? Like, well, you know, why not girls, or why not both, or whatever? And, you know, I do in my one-on-one coaching work with whomever, boys, parents of boys, parents of girls, but my programs are all around boys because I feel like they've got it really hard. I feel like we're still telling them that it's not okay to feel, and that is the biggest struggle they're facing. They learn from a very young age that they need to hide their feelings. And still often there are and can be intense repercussions if they show their feelings. And I share this story. Sometimes one of my boys was playing soccer once, and he got cleated, you know, with the cleats. Some of you guys think you're cleats?
Same, they're called studs here, but yes.
Studs, yeah, okay. So they get, you know, he got really kicked with them. Yeah. And that hurts. I mean, they hurt. They are sharp because they dig in the grass so that you don't slip, right? So when they hit your skin, it hurts. And he started to cry. And his coach got upset and told him that he needed to, you know, sit out, and that if he didn't stop, he would not be able to play the next game. And I realized, okay, that coach is doing the best he can. That's the best that he can figure out. This is just culture, right? This is just culture, you know, what he knows. He's acting out the culture that he's grown up in, essentially. It's not that he had a bad intention. And so with that in mind, I moved in and was able to talk to him and educate him after the fact. But the reality is, if that were a girl, it would have gone a lot differently, right? She would have got a pat on the back. Hey, have a seat on the bench. Like, you know, when you feel better, you know, come back in, kind of a thing. But boys are still punished for feeling. And that's a problem, because in order to create a more peaceful world, which is what I want to do, one sweet boy at a time, right? We have to have that space for our boys to heal from hurts as they happen to them. Otherwise, they're like pressure cookers, right? Otherwise, they're just like pressure cookers. The feelings stay inside, the hurts and the upsets stay inside, and that top just starts to wobble, 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 and eventually it's going to explode, right? And, you know, in the absolute worst scenarios, they explode in, you know, violence, in school shootings, in, you know, addictions to drugs and alcohol, in, you know, rape and sexual violence. I mean, like, they can erupt, or, you know, corrupt politics, right? Horrible laws. I mean, these are big things. These are things that really affect us. And that's one of the things that I like to point out, is that as parents of young boys, we have an amazing opportunity to create a different world. Because if we just listen to our boys' upsets, if that's the only thing that you get from this, the only thing that you do differently after listening to this podcast, is that you listen to your boy when he has an upset rather than try to shut him down or fix the situation, you're already creating a more emotionally intelligent boy who's going to grow into a more emotionally intelligent man, who's going to lead in his world, whatever that world is, in a much more peaceful way.
Yeah, I love that. So, I mean, it's so important, you know, giving all children, regardless of gender, but particularly our boys, the language to give them that time to find that language, and also to model listening so that they can be someone who listens, because they have experienced what it feels like to be listened to. You know, that affects the dynamics in every relationship that they have going forward.
Absolutely. And they get to, as they grow, stay close to us. And that's one of the biggest fears that parents have, right? Is that, oh my God, and I have clients come to me that all the time. People go, oh my God, if he's, you know, hitting me now and he's 3, what's it going to be like when he's 16 or whatever it is? If he doesn't listen to me now and he's 5 or he's 8, like, what, when he's a teenager, what's going to happen? I'm going to have no control. He's going to be out of control. They literally have him like behind bars in their minds.
Yeah.
And it's a real fear. And so I like to work with parents and let them know that, hey, your boy's okay and you're okay. And let me teach you some tools to help you usher him through this challenging time and bring him around to a more peaceful place.
And so if it has got to a place where someone's listening to this and going, yeah, but my boy's not three anymore, like he is 16 and it is out of control and I'm really stuck here and like feeling like it's too late or it's their fault or they should have done things differently, I'm assuming that it's not too late and that we can shift and change things and that you can find a way back. And would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's never too late, right? We can't live life thinking it's too late, it's too late, it's too late, right? I mean, that's part of adulting. Part of adulting is looking forward, right? So would it have been easier if you'd started when he was three? Yeah, I mean, it would have been a lot easier if I knew what I knew when my oldest was nursing every 2 hours all night and I was falling asleep at work during the day and I knew what to do about it. I mean, like, yeah, I would have been better, but I didn't know. So with my next one, I could, right? So yeah, I mean, if your boy is 16, I would say that the best thing to start doing, or what I, in my thinking anyway, would be to start creating some one-on-one time with him that you do even if he doesn't want to be with you. So in other words, when kids are young, I teach parents to do what I call special time with them, which is one-on-one time with a timer. And there's a whole, you know, you can learn about it on my website and in my programs for sure. But when the kid gets older, I mean, a 16-year-old, is not going to want to do special time with you. You're going to be like, hey, you want to do special time? And they're going to be like, excuse me? Like, no. No. But your job as a parent in special time is to pour in your love, to be there present without any distractions. So no cell phone and no answering the doors and no cooking at the same time and no answering emails and all that stuff. Like you're only 100% focused on him. And so even if he doesn't want you to be there, you can just let him know, hey, you know, I'm available to hang out if you want to. I'm not doing anything else. And you just plop yourself down on the couch there and just let him know, you know, for 15 minutes, I'm here. So if you want to talk or got anything to share, or you want to do something or you need help with anything, I'm here. And then when it's done, let him know, hey, I just wanted to let you know I need to go do something else right now, but I'll be around again later at this time or tomorrow if you want to connect or something like that. And it might take literally a month or months of reaching out for him to believe you, right? Because you haven't been making yourself available in that way. Mm-hmm. And so for him to believe you and see that you really mean business, right? If you say, okay, I'm here for you, you know, I want to hang out with you. And then he goes, no, I don't want to, like, I want to just like play my video game. And you go like, I don't know why you play that stupid video game. Like, and you get annoyed or you get insulted, then that doesn't do anything to move the relationship forward. Instead, you don't take it personally. You realize that you are the adult. He is the child, even at 16, and it's your responsibility to figure out how to mend the relationship or bring you guys closer together. And you just keep showing up day after day. Hey, I've got 15 minutes. I'm just hanging out here on the couch. If you want to do something, I'm all yours. Set a timer for yourself. When it goes off, let him know, do it again the next day. He will catch on.
Thank you, Tasha. I like that. It's, you know, when we're talking about it, it's simple. And in the reality of it, little things like this are so powerful. And knowing that people like you exist, that you've dedicated your, you know, your time and your life's work to really giving our boys this space and the attention and the love that you are to create a more peaceful world is something I really want to honor you for. So thank you.
Thank you.
If people want to come find you, we'll put all the links and everything in, but where's the best place for them to come and hang out and find out more about your programs and stuff?
The best place would be on the Work With Me page on my website. You can learn all about my membership community. I've got parents from all over the world, parents of young boys, committed to parenting their boys peacefully and learning how to do that. Shifting behaviors through connection, throwing out punishment. So we've got a community there of amazing, amazing parents. And then I also have a course that I just want to mention on aggression. So since we did touch on aggression, like if you do have a young boy, you know, say 2 to 10, who is struggling with aggressive behaviors, I've got a course, a self-paced course that you can do where I actually hold, I mean, it's like an amazing deal. I actually hold live office hours every week. So if you have questions about aggression, you just hop on a Zoom call and I will answer them. So I really want change to happen in your family. I want change to happen and I do everything in my power to make that happen. Oh, and I should say that I'm starting a YouTube channel so you can find me on YouTube. I'll put that link. I'm so excited. I'm not used to saying it yet.
We'll make sure that those links are in there so people can come and subscribe and come join the community and do all of those things. So thank you so, so much for hanging out and having a chat with me. Will you finish with a little I'm an adult but with me?
Ooh, I'm an adult, but one of the things I most love is spending the night at my mom's house, curling up in bed with her and just like resting my head on her chest and just curling up in her little, under her arm.
I'm so glad you said that. As you were describing special time, I was like, my dad still does that for me now. I'm 39 and 38. And I, you know, it's, I hope that it never stops. I love it when I get those, you know, 5 minutes, just me and him when we get to hang out and there's no phone and there's no nothing and he's not cooking or cleaning or texting or, you know, it's still such a powerful, powerful thing.
Amazing. I love that he does that with you.
Yeah. I feel very lucky. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. I loved it.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.